Well, amen. Thank you, Tiffany and Hector. My, my, my. I don't know about you, I kind of look forward to that scene. Boy, that's victory. We were kind of looking in Sunday school, some of the pictures and the stars, and that victory's pictured all the way through. We didn't get to it this morning, but shows the old dragon being cast out. That'll be the day, amen? I want you to go to the Old Testament with me, 1 Kings chapter 18. I'm going to read a longer portion than I normally do for the message, and if I just read it and you paid attention to it, it'd be enough for you to have to go on home, and I'm not going to let you go that early, but I just said it would be enough. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 18, I want to talk to you on the subject you'll find in the story I'm going to read. I'm going to give it a title thought, Exchanging Gods. Exchanging Gods. 1 Kings 18, pick it up with me in about verse 17. The story before this is God is putting judgment on Israel. King Ahab is the king. He's married to an evil woman by the name of Jezebel. God's judgment has fallen on Egypt, and he sent his prophet Elijah to put his finger in King Ahab's face and tell him, I'm going to shut off the rain. It's not going to rain anymore for 3.5 years, and I'm not going to rain anymore till we say so. And that's the suffering that Israel is going under as we begin to read. So Ahab has sent out some search parties to try to find Elijah, try to break the drought some way or another, try to get right, try to do something to the prophet. Well, you remember the story how that the servants came looking for Elijah, and finally Elijah decided he'd go and face off with Ahab. So pick it up in verse 17. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send, and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat or subsidized at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. Watch it now. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us 2 bullocks, and let them choose 1 bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, little g gods, see that? And I will call on the name of the Lord, capital letters there. And the Lord that answereth, God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you 1 bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for you are many. And call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even unto noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. God's got a sense of humor. You believe that? It says, And Elijah mocked them and said, Cry loud, for he is a God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. By the way, if you got a new version of the Bible, it uses some dirty words right here. And it shouldn't. Old King James is what you need to stick with, folks. Stick with the Word of God. Verse 28, And they cried aloud and cut themselves after the manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied unto the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said, and all the people come near unto me, and all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, in whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces, laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. He said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar and filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Now I want you to get the setting. God's judgment has fallen because a nation has exchanged its gods for false gods. They become worshipers of Baal with all the evil that was involved, such as letting their seed be burnt, the babies sacrificed in the fire, and so forth. And God's judgment had fallen, and they had turned to a false god because their king had married an evil woman by the name of Jezebel. She was the daughter of Ethbaal, and it was an idol worshiping, Baal worshipers, and it had moved into Israel, and it had been there a long time. It had gained so much strength, and now God Almighty is bringing judgment. 3.5 years he told them it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain until after this scene was over and God let it rain again. But the judgment had fallen on the nation of Israel. And so I want to say this. We look around and we see a choosing time taking place here. We're finding out who is the real God, and Israel is being asked to change back. Repent, if you please, and turn back to who the real God was. That's what's going on right here. I want to say some things about that. To begin with, I want to say this condition they were in didn't happen overnight. It had been building a long time. This condition, little by little, they begin to tolerate wrong. All of a sudden, they said, well, the elite people, the top people, the queen, this is her God. And so apostasy came from the top down. It always does. It comes from the tops of Bible colleges instead of working up from the bottom. It comes from the top of government. It always works down. It comes from the top. You know, some of you think Hollywood's the top. It's the bottom. It's the bottom of the garbage can. And yet you let them set trends. And some of you young people, hear me good. You're all messed up because you want to keep up with something you ought not be keeping up with, something you ought to condemn. And this is exactly where Israel finds itself, little by little, toleration. And we hear that today. We're supposed to tolerate everything, accept everything. Oh, preacher, you're not supposed to judge. My Bible tells me to judge many times, and it divides between right judgment and wrong judgment. And Jesus himself said, you know a tree by the fruit that it bears. You're supposed to judge. You're supposed to discern between good and bad. Somebody says, a Christian's not supposed to hate. A Christian's not supposed to get mad. Yes, we are, and without sin. Jesus got angry without sin. I'm supposed to hate what God hates. Do you understand that? I'm supposed to accept what God accepts and condemn what God condemns. Amen. Amen. Help yourself. Truth of the matter is, this condition was building and building and building, and it led to the killing of the babies. It led to Jezebel taking God's servants, prophets, preachers, taking them out and killing them. One of these servants that come looking for Elijah to get him to go face Ahab, one of the old eunuchs told Elijah, "I know you could call down fire from heaven on me like you did the others, but remember, I hid some of the prophets from Jezebel. I done some good for the Lord's cause." And that was his argument with Elijah. And the truth is, the babies were killed. God's servants were killed, much like we see in our country today. That's a terrible thing, but we feared the election this time because we knew that on the plans were to shut up preachers like me. We got some hope now we might get the gag order off that was passed. We got some hope that we might have more freedom. We don't know for sure who's going to win the struggle up there yet, but I do know what would have happened had the other side won. Radio stations like you're hearing me on right now would have been in trouble. And churches would have been in trouble. And the truth is, we're hoping we've gained some ground. You see, our condition was moving very much like Israel, bringing the judgment of God Almighty on a nation that used to profess the right God and has now gotten themselves mixed up as to who God is. And that's exactly what was the case here in Israel at the time I'm talking about. I look and I see the condition moved in slowly, but it moved in. It was long in the making, but it got there. And I see as a result, the result was confusion. Confusion was the result. The people, they were confused. Here Elijah says, okay, build up the altars here, and let's see who God is. You know what it says? It says the people answered not a word. Confused. Lost what the truth was. We moved in our country to where we're calling evil good and good evil. We're all twisted around and mixed up. We're all confused. And the people here answered not a word. We're in a confused nation right now. It's confusion when women march in the street for the right to kill their babies. That's confusion. That's wrong as it can possibly be. When they march in the streets for men to marry men and women to marry women, it's confusion. We have moved into a place where we are just like Israel was at this time. We're coming on the judgment of God. We've confused our nation. Our friends don't know if they can trust us. And our enemies have no fear or respect of us worldwide because we stand in confusion and chaos to a great, great degree. Worse than that, it gets much above the nations. The sad truth is today we've confused our young people. Well, let me just give you an example. There's a lot of young people sitting here right now. A lot of them belong to church families. A lot of them are serving in their youth group, in their churches. But you know, if I was a young people hearing, a young person today hearing what I'm hearing from a lot of churches, I'd be a little bit confused. Well, let me just give you an example. It'll get close home to us if you listen close. The truth is, they go to our Sunday school. They learn about Adam and Eve. They learned that Jesus thought Adam and Eve were the first folks created. Isn't that what he said? Matthew 19, in the beginning, God created them male and female. Isn't that what he said? Yes, it is. And so they go to Sunday school and they grow up where we say the Bible is the Word of God. We believe in a literal Adam and Eve. We believe in a real creation. We don't believe it happened by accident over a billion years. We believe it happened as God said so. Say, well, what are they confused about? Because then mom and dad wants them to go to the elite college that's going to teach them Adam and Eve were mythical. Just a good story. Yeah, the world's a billion years old, and we all evolved from a mud hole with a tadpole in it. And no wonder the kids are confused. I mean, mom and dad, we got a double standard. We want you to go to church and learn this, but we want you to climb in the world, so we're going to send you where your degree will count for something. Baloney first class. Then Thanksgiving comes, and then Christmas comes, and then the kids come and sit out at the table, and you don't hardly recognize them no more. Their faith's been shattered, destroyed in many cases. The confusion started right here when we had a double standard. Help yourself. See, I'm an old guy. My watch is about over, so I'm not a bit afraid to say whatever I believe is the truth from the Word of God. And I'm telling you, we are living in a confused nation today, and we've confused our young people, and we have got them so confused their future is going to be messed up if we don't straighten up. And I say, well, now, preacher, and this is the junk I hear. Now, God's the creator, but he did it by evolution. No, he did not. The Bible says he spoke it into existence. Let's go by what God said and by what Jesus believed. You say, but they put carbon 14 on it and it's a billion years old. What do you know about that? Well, let me ask you something. Did you ever think about the appearance of age? Now, a lot of appearance of age is sitting around you right now. And one's talking to you. But now listen to me. When Adam was created and stood up, when God breathed life into his nostrils, how old did he look? Did he look like a babe? No. Did he look like a teenager? No. I think he looked pretty much perfect health. Was probably around, he probably would appear to have been around 30 years old. But wait a minute. He was only 1 minute old. Got it? I said the appearance of age. You know what? The first meal that Adam and Eve ate off the tree, they didn't watch the tree grow from a seed. It already was a full-grown tree when they plucked the fruit off of it, whether it was whatever fruit was, not an apple probably, but whatever it was. Do you understand what I'm saying? God created things as they would be. Somebody says, which come first, the chicken or the egg? Chicken or the egg, which come? Are you not the chicken came first? Of course. Bunch of junk. And so kids go to church and the little country church here or there or wherever, and they teach the Bible, and the old folks believe the Bible, and then the young people go to college, and college makes fools out of mom and dad and grandpa. Mock the Word of God. Mock the faith. No wonder the kids are confused. There was confusion here. I mean, the people stood there. They didn't answer a word. They heard the challenge of Elijah, but they'd been brainwashed. The media at 6:30 every night had been brainwashing them. Boy, the media in our country is shocked right now. That dawned on them, everybody's not believing us like we thought they were. It's not working so good. Boy, it tickles me. Now our young people, they come to church and they hear Jesus is the only way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. And then they go to college and it says all religions are just the same. All roads lead to heaven. We got to tear our borders down and welcome all the religions of the world, even if they want to cut our heads off. That's confusion, folks. That's real, real confusion. It's too bad, but it's so. I don't know if, you know, there's so much fake news now, you don't know hardly what to believe. I do. Throw most of it in the garbage. But anyway, I got this in print. This is I've read from this guy several times, so he's probably right. I'm talking about the confusion. I'm talking about mixing up the gods. The last administration had a prayer breakfast. It was the last year or the year before. I believe it was last year. Had a prayer breakfast where the president spoke. And many of you remember when Ben Carson kind of rebuked the president at the prayer breakfast, the black surgeon. Thank God he's a believer and had the guts to do so. And he did, and I was thankful for him. But I got a note right here I want to read to you concerning the most recent prayer breakfast. It was January the 21st this year. And this man writes, while attending the traditional prayer service in Washington this morning, now this is after the new president was in, everyone was seated as more than 12 prayers were said. In between the Christian prayers, one lady sang, "How Great Thou Art." President Trump's wife wept when the chorus was sung at the end. She alone stood and applauded, then everybody else followed in standing. Scriptures were all read from the inspired King James Bible. Every morning, very moving service. Every prayer ended in Jesus' name. Now, I hope that's true. Knowing where I got it from and having received, it probably is. That's a big switch. Because at the last prayer breakfast, Islam was praised and Christianity was criticized. You know what I'm saying? So maybe there's more hope. Maybe God's going to extend our time. You keep hearing me say that. Maybe so. But I look here and I see Israel's condition built for a long time. I see America's condition has built for a long time. I see the confusion Israel had. I see the confusion we're in today. Then I see the correction here had a cost to it. A real big cost. When that fire fell, it didn't fall because of Baal. It fell because of God. The fire that fell was God's judgment fire. It burned up the wood, the bullock, the wood, licked up the water. Somebody said, it was a dry time. They had no rain. Where'd they get 12 barrels of water? I'll tell you where. They got it out of the ocean. It was handy. They had to get out of the ocean because the offering at the 3 p.m. that day, it was about 3 p.m., the evening oblation, that offering, that meat offering, had to be offered with salt. Salt water came out of the ocean. And by the way, you can put out fire with salt water. But the fire licked up the salt water because it was God's fire. It was God's judgment fire. You say you believe that? Yes, sir, just like it's written. Just like it's written. And God was in this thing. And this offering was a salt offering that was supposed to be. And I see it was a high cost. He had to rebuild the altar. He had to get the water. All of that, but more than that, the cost of correction was blood. They jumped on it, leaped on it, the Baalite prophets did, and cut themselves, but their blood was no good. And when judgment fell, God had the people suddenly turn on them and kill them. You say, Elijah slew all 450. No, he ordered it. He commanded it. And in their repentance and their getting back with the right God, they brought God's judgment, and it was a big cost to getting the nation right. I want to say we may have a little price yet to pay if America has any future hope for a while. Don't cry so much about the cost, because there's a greater cost if we don't get right. Much bigger cost if we don't get right. Here the blood was shed. I want to tell you, when Jesus comes back, I'm not talking about the mysterious secret coming for the saved, for the bride. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when he comes back in judgment, it's going to be a bloody time. I preached on this one Sunday morning years ago when I was a young preacher. I say this. I preached on Revelation 14 and a few other references. I made a family so mad. They said, you preach that bloody religion. Well, I got news for you. I'm preaching from a Bible where God himself shed his own blood for my sins. And the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no what? Remission. Amen. It's going to be a bloody time when Jesus comes back in judgment. I don't have it marked. You might want to look at it. It's found in Revelation chapter 14. It's the last verse of Revelation chapter 14. And it's telling something I used to hear my grandma say when I was a little kid. And I was unsaved, didn't go to church, didn't have a Sunday school. And I didn't know what she was talking about, except it didn't sound good. And it still don't sound good. Now I know where she had it from. She'd been reading her Bible. Revelation chapter 14, look at the last verse. Grandma used to say, there's a time coming when the Lord comes back that the blood is going to be up to the horse's bridle. And I'd say, Grandma, you're prophesying again. Now I got saved years later and found out she was right. Revelation 14, verse 20. It's talking about when the Lord comes back. We showed the picture of it in Sunday school, when he comes back with a sickle in his hand, harvesting the earth, remember? And he's stumping out the great winepress with the wrath of God. Look at it in verse 20. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs. I didn't write that. There it is. When God comes back in judgment, there's going to be a cost. The enemy that faces him is going to be destroyed. It was the blood of these prophets here that was slain, that was against God, and it's going to be those against God when he comes back that's going to face him in judgment. This correction, though, it was costly, but listen, this correction here started with one man, Elijah. Had to run from his life, for his life from Jezebel, had to hide out a while, but then in the boldness of God, he comes back and faces the king, and he calls a meeting. He calls a ministerial assassination meeting right on Mount Carmel. And the face-off between the gods take place to find out who the true God was. And when God answered by fire, Israel turned and repented, and they exchanged Baal for the true God. They exchanged the false gods for the true God. We're in a condition today where we are almost on Mount Carmel facing a decision, which God is going to be the God of America. Are we going to still be a Christian nation? Or, like some have said, we're no longer a Christian nation. I want to tell you something. There's one God, and he's jealous of being one. He'll not share his glory with Allah. He'll not share his glory with the false gods that's promoted in our schools in many cases. He's the Lord God Jehovah. And the Bible tells us that he changes not. He's not joining the false gods. The false gods are going to be judged, and those that follow them. Here we have an exchanging of gods as Israel reaches back to the real God. America needs to reach back to the real God. We need to start ending prayers in high places in Jesus' name. We need to start declaring that we are a Christian nation, that we are not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's our Savior. I say to you, what we need in a nation started with Elijah in that nation. What we need is to start with you men, one at a time. And man is the head of the house that God is going to hold accountable. Listen to me, mister. If you do right by God, your family will. Your wife will follow you. Your kids will follow you. We're in a mess today in confusion in America because we hardly ever have some dads even know who their kids are, some kids who know who the dad is. It's a mess. But the Lord God is going to hold us men accountable to turn back to him. Turn back to him. I say to you, we need men to change from their false gods. You say, I don't have a false god. Anything that keeps you from being a Christian, believing on Jesus, receiving him as Savior, you got a God bigger than him if you won't turn to him. It may be your little god of pride or shame or what you want to do you fear you'll have to quit doing if you become a Christian. That's your Baal. That's your false god that's keeping you from Jesus. That's what it is. I mean, your personal little gods. I tell you this, these false prophets of Baal and all their followers found out who the real God was. And one day you will find out who the real God is. Best to exchange your false gods for the true God now. Right now, where there's an opportunity to do so. You can turn your back on whatever it is that keeps you from coming to Jesus, and you can come to him. He said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. Boy, isn't that good news? One day I went to a church and heard the good old story that Jesus loved me while I was yet a sinner, and it sounded too good to be true. Oh, but when I came, I found out he took me just like I was. He didn't leave me just like I was. He made a difference quickly in my life. And he will for you. And if we had enough men coming to Jesus and turning from the little gods that's keeping them back, our nation could be a nation again that we could raise our kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Our nation again could be that testimony that would hold respect around the world. Our nation again could be the answer to stop a lot of the bad stuff that's going on. And false religions would love to know who the true God is. And America could tell them, but we got to turn back to Him first ourselves. Amen. Start with you right here in the auditorium. Have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior? Ever accepted the Son of God that loved you and died for you and paid for your sins? You say, well, I believe in Him and I want to. No, listen. What's your testimony? Have you ever confessed Him as Savior? The Bible says, whosoever believeth shall not be ashamed. If you're ashamed, that's a little God you need to exchange for the real God. You can do it right this moment. I pray you will. Let's bow our heads, please. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many of you can say, preacher, I know the real God. I know the Lord Jesus. I know He's my Savior. I know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. If you can say that, would you say so by the uplifted hand all over the building? Not ashamed of Jesus. He loved me, died for me. He's my Savior. Would you lift that hand? Thank you so many. You may put them down. Were you here, and to be honest with yourself and God, you didn't lift your hand. You didn't lie. You've never trusted Christ. You've got some little personal God, some little lust, some little desire, some little toy, some little gimmick that's holding you back. I'm saying to you now, it'd be a good time to exchange that false God that can't help you for the true one. To leave that seat and come down the aisle and receive Christ as your Savior. Right now, before I pray, would you just slip that hand up and say, preacher, I need to be saved and I know it. Pray for me. Help me in mind. I need the courage to receive Christ. Would you slip that hand up? I'm not going to come to you here, but I'll have you in mind as I pray. All over the auditorium. If you're not saved, would you slip that hand up for prayer? Very well, let's stand, please. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, we look at an Old Testament story here. We saw a time when a crisis came, when a nation had to make a decision. And Father, they were in great trouble. They were under your judgment. Lord, I pray for our nation today, but our nation's answer starts right here in this room with men listening out in radio land, people that need to stand up and declare that the Lord, He is God. To quit halting between two opinions and letting the elites of this world do their thinking for them. Help us, Lord, as a nation to repent and come back. Help us, Lord, as individuals. Help, Father, that one in the auditorium, sound of my voice right this minute, to repent, turn from their way.